Come on in and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to brighten your day on this Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Hey, good morning, Fred. Well, you know, they say spring has sprung, boys. Do you believe it? Boo, here it is this morning, damp and cold, and I've told you several times on the air that spring has sprung, but it hasn't sprung. It got cold again. But I'm sure we're going to have warm weather soon and stay warm. I surely hope so. I don't love sultry, hot weather, but I detest these climate changes. They're so hard on the human body. The doctor was telling me recently that the body does not change quickly enough for the changes of the weather. They're not agreed somewhere or other. That's the reason we have arthritis and neuralgia, neuralgia, as they used to say, and all sorts of aches and pains in changeable weather. The human mechanism doesn't adjust quickly. Well, the Bible says man is fearfully and wonderfully made, and indeed he is, isn't he? First, let me thank you again from the bottom of my heart for the trading stamps I got this week. Most of them here when I got here this morning. Big load of them, and let's see, I believe 2 or 3 towns, Dugginsville, that I haven't had from before, Greenfield and Fairplay and Morrisville, and then from St. Joe, Arkansas and Harrison, and from Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, keep sending me what you can spare of stamps, any kind. We're so glad for them, Miss Wyman, the publicity agent, and myself. And believe me, that bus is going to materialize before too long. I made an error last Saturday. I was saying that the men employees and officials at the courthouse gave the money for the children's pony up at the Marshall home, and I forgot to mention the women. Why, of course, the women, the stenographers, the clerks, and all sorts of women over there, employees, gave their share, too. I don't know what made me skip the women and say that the men gave it. Well, that mistake came to my mind later, so you women will forgive me, won't you? What would this old world be without women anyway? Of course, the men say they can't live with them, they can't live without them. We say the same thing about the men. We can't live with them, we can't live without them. Well, our Charlie Williford and his Dorothy are back from their winter stay in Texas and looking fine. Charlie wearing his big Mexican sombrero hat the other night to the lecture at Drury College by the Honorable Dewey Short, our Dewey. And I called Charlie Don Pizarro. He looked exactly like a Mexican Don. Charlie was writing in his column recently, which appears in our Sunday paper, you know, about the old schools, and was very interesting to me. I wish I had known even more about them, and I expect I know more about them than Charlie Williford, because I'm older than Charlie Williford. But I lived in the little town. It was indeed quite a small town, but with a few more books and advantages, you know, than not quite so primitive as the country districts. My, they had puncheon floors there and sat on just benches, and my, it was some doings when I was little. But I studied the McGuffey readers, believe me, as did Mr. Williford in Illinois, his former home. And I studied the blueback speller. Not a great many of them. Well, it was kind of going out as a speller when I came in to school. And as he said, schools were mostly the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I tell you, the old blueback speller was something. I learned to spell the old way, and when a scholar learned that way, he knew a word forever. You know, they pronounced as they went, each syllable, and bringing each syllable up as they went. Very few today remember it and can do it. For instance, when you got over in the back of the speller, they'd say, "Where are you in the speller?" When you got over in the back of the speller, where the words were long, you thought then that you knew about all there was to know in this old world. Now, I want to spell you one. I bet you, Nickel, you can't do it. I got a $10 prize one time down in Harrison, Arkansas. I was the only person at a big reunion could spell it. Comprehensibility, we'll take. COMPRE-HEN-S-I-COMPREHENDS-I-BILL-COMPREHENDS-I-BILL-I-COMPREHENDS-I-BILL-I-T-Y-T. Comprehensive. Spell every COMPRE-HEN-HEN-COMPREHEND. Bring every one of them up as you came. Now, wasn't that a jawbreaker? And it's just as handy for me now. Here's how you rattled that off. That's how you rattled it off. Can you do it? Can anybody spell and pronounce like that? If you can, drop me a card. Believe me, you knew comprehensibility when you saw it after that. And you know there's some high school students right now, Fred, that can't spell any better than fourth grade. It's the honest truth, or third grade. They can't spell at all. He's pointing at somebody out there, so don't point at me. Well, I can spell. Now, believe me, I learned out of the old blueback. Even years and years after, I remembered, you know. My father said when he was a boy and had so little schooling, they would go to school with nothing but the old blueback speller tucked under their arm. There was only the one book that they took to school. They had no books. There was no place to get them but in a city miles away, and they went there by wagon team, as you know. And there was no money to get them with, even if someone went. He said all classes would go up to their class and bring their blueback speller. And it was full of sentences and maxims. For instance, one sentence said, the earth is round. Well, they read that sentence and they spelled every word in it. And then the teacher would tell them all he knew about astronomy or the planets, you know. He'd teach an astronomy class, maybe. And one sentence would be, a noun is the name of something. Then the teacher would tell him what a noun was, and he'd tell him what he knew of grammar. So the school depended on what the teacher knew, which sometimes wasn't very much. And then they had, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. They'd have that sentence, and he'd give it to them on the effects of alcohol and tempers. It was a wonderful thing. And then there'd be a religious sentence, and he'd teach about he'd teach religion and about the Bible. And so the body has so many bones. What is it? 208, I think that's one of the sentences. Then they'd teach what he knew of physiology and the human body. But my father, who had even less days of schooling than Lincoln, lived to be a fine scholar and was superintendent of schools of our little county for many years. He educated himself, and believe me, he was thorough. Anyone can educate himself by reading and study. That is, a fair education. And my father dug all his mathematics out, he said, by himself with hard work and no help. His parents died when he was little. He was raised by an old great uncle who whipped him and came down on him. Well, I'll tell you, they had time in the schools then. Well, Mr. Denton Ritchie, agent for the MFA Insurance Company, called me up and told me that he wanted to send me a calendar. So I was always howling for a good old-time calendar. And they are hard to get now. A lady had recently sent me one, and I just can't recall now who it was, unless it was Edith Hutton of Steelville. Well, wish I knew. Wish the lady had dropped me a card that sent me that nice calendar. I got it all mixed up with the stamps and the mail. But I'm always glad to get a calendar. So this MFA Insurance Company calendar is a real calendar. I got it yesterday. All the signs of the zodiac, all about planting and harvesting and measurements, and when to plant in your location, when to set hens, when to kill farm meat, when to wean calves, harvest crops and everything, as well as the astrological birthday data and the planting signs. It's really a dandy. Then the old festival days and holidays. That'll be a good one for me to use, because I'll get to remember those days. Yesterday was Grant's birthday, it said. Tomorrow is Low Sunday. I couldn't find anywhere on earth what Low Sunday. I had an idea. It had something to do with the Church of England, so I asked Dr. Reepma before he left this morning. What a wonderful man and preacher and scholar that man is. Well, he said that it's a Sunday after Easter. And everybody had gone the three Sundays, you know, that in Palm Sunday and all, and they were kind of tired, and there wasn't many people went. And they had a way of calling it the Low Sunday, that is, there wouldn't be much crowd. And so that's Low Sunday. It goes down now as one of our big church days. not meaning anything low in that sense, but just low Sunday. Last Friday, now I'll tell you this, was the eighth day of the Jewish Passover. A great day for the Jewish church. I wanted to get to go to some of their services, but just didn't get to it. And I hope someday some Jewish family invites me into their home at Passover when they eat the matzah bread. It's a great spiritual experience, Mr. Reepma tells me, and I know it is, and I'd love to go. Maybe I'll ask Dr. Jacobs about it sometime. He'll know. Their ritual is so old, and their music is so beautiful. And do you know, I discovered the strangest thing. I've got to tell you about it. Last week, a friend in St. Louis, a woman whom I think so much of, Miss Mamie Myers, she sent me, she's a Jewish woman, and she sent me a little book, The Jewish or the Hebrew Haggadah. That's the scriptures and ritual that they use in the Haggadah, Feast of the Passover. You know, they've just come out of their Feast of the Passover about the time of our, long time of our Easter. And when I'm always telling you what our folklore here in the Ozarks is, that it's as old as time, I'm about right. Do you all remember when you told over and over the little story about the widow's pig that wouldn't get over the stile and she couldn't get home tonight? Every child knew it. Stick, stick, beat pig, and so on, or water, water, quench fire, fire won't burn, stick, stick, won't beat pig, pig won't get over the stile and won't get home tonight. Ox, ox, drink water, water won't quench fire, fire won't burn, stick, and so on. Well, you know, that somehow surely goes clear back to the Hebrew hundreds of years ago for that old story that every child knew. It must have come from this Jewish Haggadah, because right there in the little book she sent me, it read this way. And the angel of death came and slew the slaughterer that slaughtered the ox that drank the water that quenched the fire that burned the stick that beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the kid that father bought for two zuzim. And the Holy One, blessed is he, came and killed the angel of death that slew the slaughterer that slaughtered the ox that drank the water that quenched the fire, and so on. And so there you are, over and over, and I was never so amazed in my life. The little old story that my mother knew and taught me, and every other child knew it. And it said in the footnotes of this Haggadah that this is an old Hebrew song that is sung at the conclusion of the Haggadah Passover. It's a simple song which illustrated in allegorical fashion the fate of the people of Israel who were persecuted by the nations of old. The cat was the Assyrian, the dog was the Babylonian, who took them into bondage in the Bible, you know. And the Persian was the water, and the fire was the Romans, the ox was the Saracen, and so on. This old ritual down in our childhood, even to our remote hills, and that is something. There was a professor and his wife from the University of Illinois came to see me the other day about Ozark folklore, and I told them about this Passover story. They just couldn't get over it. They're going back and go into the Chicago Hebrew libraries and study it deeply as to how we English got it. Well, my time's up. If I don't stop now, I never will. My best love to all of you, and I'm going to write to as many of you as I can next week. God keep you and love you. I'll be seeing you next Saturday morning, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.